I feel like I've always just had questions, and adults didn't always have the answers and maybe the patience to explain those answers. So first with my mom, I was always kind of like, you know I'm young, but this is my life and I have control to an extent, and I have my own mind. And that kind of translated right over into school. I was a social butterfly, a chatty Cathy. I always got in trouble for talking too much, just too much conversation in the classroom. But then growing up, learning more things about history, I started to feel like things were unfair. I felt like things were not being taught in the proper way. I didn't think it represented me or reflected my experience and what I was going through, and I felt like it didn't have relevance. And I had no problem with vocalizing that to staff members.
Hello, I'm Paul Munier, the Executive Director of the Youth Intervention Programs Association, and I'm a youth worker at heart. How lucky am I? I have the privilege to meet youth workers from around the globe and learn their stories and share them with the entire world. I'm glad you're listening, because together we'll learn how their life experiences shape their youth work. As you listen, I encourage you to consider how your experiences shape what you have to offer young people. Welcome to this edition of The Passionate Youth Worker. Hi, everybody. For this episode, we're joined by Essence Blakemore from Minnesota in the United States. She is committed to giving back to her community and is truly a fierce champion for social justice causes. Essence, thanks for being a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem, Paul. Thanks for having me. I am honored to be here, and I really like the description, fierce champion. I really like that language, so thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Everything that I've learned about you so far feels like you're fierce and serious about trying to create change and make the world a better place for everybody, and especially our young people. So it's cool. I'm lucky I get the chance to interview you. I know when we met that you had a special youth worker in your life growing up. Can you tell us about Jamie and what she meant to you?
Yeah, for sure. So Jamie was an AmeriCorps Promise Fellow that I met in middle school. I went to middle school in St. Paul, Ramsey Junior High, shout out. But I met her there, and she was just really, I would say, one of those pivotal people that you meet in your life, a turning point kind of deal. She gave me and other students tools and skills to help us think critically, think outside the box. I want to say transcend circumstances.
What is it about Jamie that made her so special? Why did you feel a connection to her?
Because we knew for sure, like outside of just me, but the students in general, we knew it was more than a job for Jamie. So I think that's what made it special. Just the way she related to us. She took intentional time, like I said, just to explain things that people typically like just breeze over. And also, I was a little bit of a troublemaker, kind of finding my way into situations, but also very outspoken. Authority, they don't always like that with young people. So Jamie was super helpful in like helping me figure out how to use my voice and like cultivate those skills to fight back against what was happening in middle school. I was getting dismissed, suspended, all kinds of stuff. So like I said, it was more than a job for her. She felt the duty.
That's cool. There's a lot of people like Jamie out there, and we can see the impact that it has on people. What was Jamie's role? Was she a school counselor, or how did you get to know Jamie?
Yeah, so Jamie, she was a Promise Fellow at the middle school, so she kind of just got assigned to us. I don't think she had much choosing over where she got assigned. AmeriCorps Promise Fellows typically have a focus list of students that they work with. And a lot of my friends were her students. And I kind of like just interjected myself in there because she'd pull them out of class separately and focus on certain things. And I was just trying to figure out, where is she taking them? And like everybody always had good things to say about Jamie. So I wanted to experience this. What was everybody talking about? She's so cool. So I just like start leaving class. Like I said, I was kind of a troublemaker. So I just like leave with the group, and the teachers would just like allow it. But that's how I ran into Jamie.
Do you think you were connecting with Jamie at the beginning just because your friends were, it seemed like a way to get out of class? Or do you think that you had a hunger to connect with an older person who might be able to help you or give you support? Or was it a combination of those things?
Yeah, it was a combination. So a lot of my friends, we were kind of like We like to talk and make jokes and stuff. So I for sure wanted to slip out of class, and I felt like maybe she was like giving them the opportunity to mess around a little bit and be cool. But also, Jamie looked cool to me. He looked like a real person. No one else in the school looked this way. He had piercings and tattoos, and like she wear different color nail polishes, had a little short funky hairstyle, and she smoked cigarettes and drunk coffee, and we all knew it. Everyone knew. So like she was a real person, first of all. So that was the reason too why I wanted to connect with Jamie, and a reason why I think my friends were so okay with her being the person to come in and remove them and just be the person to help out. We knew she was real. Like she didn't seem like a teacher. Like the button up glasses, apple on the desk, that wasn't Jamie's. Yeah, I think I did just want to, I was curious about who she was.
Yeah, it's cool when you find somebody like that. You see that you think that you could trust this person. I'm guessing when you saw that she seemed like a real person, did you feel like a sense of trust, or did that have to get earned? And how long did it take?
Yeah, so it took on different levels, I would say, of trust. We all thought Jamie looked cool, but, you know, she kind of opened up a little bit more about her financial situation and the fact that she was a white woman, but she did know about food stamps and she has received those benefits. For me, it just kind of like opened up a box to some extent. She, she just became more real. So with that, it was like, okay, you're believable. But when she became involved with me getting in trouble because we became so close, I'd come to her office and just eat. When I would like freak out with other staff members, they'd direct me to Jamie. So she kind of became my support person. But with me getting in trouble, she noticed a pattern and she's like, you got to stop this. So we applied to the Minnesota Youth Council together. And at that point, the trust, it went to another level because I'm like, you actually care. Like you feel the need to say, hey, I want to get involved, me and you together. We have to do it together. And I don't know, it just took on a whole new thing. So Jamie for sure is like a family member at this point. It did build up. It was a build up.
That's interesting, Essence. So at a point when all the other adults were getting frustrated with you because of your behaviors and your, I think, curiosity and your strong spirit, she was saying, no, let's take that and use that to your advantage. And you applied for the Minnesota Youth Council. Did you get accepted into that? And was that part of your growing up experience?
Yeah, like you said, all the adults were frustrated with me, even my mom. Like, seriously, and this is why it's so important to have Jamie's. We did get accepted into the Minnesota Youth Council. And I think it played another, like, pivotal, met more turning point people. And it really just kind of got me started on the path that I'm currently on with just change making. So yeah, we got accepted.
That's cool. And when we can find young people's strengths and use them to their advantage and empower them in opportunities to do things what they're good at or what they want to do or what they care about, it's amazing what young people can do. You're a testimony to that. One final question about Jamie, and then I'll quit talking about her. Are you still connected with her, or have you drifted apart?
I wouldn't say drifted apart, just because I feel like there's always a spiritual connection. Jamie has been a little bit more off the radar, not on social media as much, but I think that there's still a connection. And if I were to speak to her, we'd pick up just where we left off. But I feel because of her own personal reasons, just like compassion fatigue, just what comes with working with young people, especially in like high populated areas with poverty and things like that, you just get burnt out. So we haven't talked recently, but spiritually, I feel in tune with Jamie, and I know that she's like always rooting me and rooting, cheering me on.
That's a cool story. Thank you for sharing your experience with Jamie. And we know, like so many of the listeners of this podcast, are just like Jamie and doing that with people all over the globe, making those connections, building that trust, and figuring out how to use a young person's skills in a positive sort of way so that they can feel empowered. That's great. You mentioned a couple times about strong-spirited, getting in trouble in school, not really liking to follow the rules. What do you think drove all that? What was behind your desire to test the limits of things and people?
You know, I feel like I've always just had questions, and adults didn't always have the answers or maybe the patience to explain those answers. So first with my mom, I was always just kind of like, you know I'm young, but this is my life and I have control to an extent and I have my own mind. And that kind of translated right over into school. I was a social butterfly, chatty Cathy. I always got in trouble for talking too much, just too much conversation in the classroom. But then, you know, growing up, learning more things about history, I started to feel like things were unfair. I felt like things were not being taught in the proper way. I didn't think it represented me or reflected my experience and what I was going through. And I felt like it didn't have relevance. And I had no problem with vocalizing that to staff members. And then, you know, I was kind of everywhere. I ditched class sometimes. But again, I think this speaks to things not being relevant to you. And I've always been a mediator. Girl drama in school, they do not tolerate anybody, not even the mediator. But I always wanted to mediate. So that was me in school.
And did you ever get in serious trouble? Did you ever get expelled or in trouble with the law? Or was it more just not wanting to follow rules and ditching class?
Well, I got my first suspension in second grade. So I've never been expelled from a school, but dismissals and suspensions. In middle school, when Jamie came into my life, I was getting dismissed because it's not a suspension. And they, it was back to back to back. Like I literally come to school a day after being dismissed and get dismissed again and then come back the next day and get dismissed again to the point that I'm falling behind. And it was all because maybe I would skip a class period. I kept telling them it doesn't make sense. Like, if I don't want to be in class anyway, why are you sending me home for the entire day? Like, what you want to fix, it doesn't make sense. So that's when Jamie's like, well, you got to find a better way to say that. But yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I opened this podcast talking about your focus on social justice. It's clear to see you had that from a very early age and could see all the injustice right in front of you. And it seemed like it drove you nuts. And that's a good thing because somebody's got to speak up and change and right so much what is wrong about so many things in our society. In regards to your personal life, how were things at home? How were things with your parents? How were things with your siblings? Can you talk about that a little bit?
I would say I'm pretty close to my family. We're a pretty like small group. Like, I'm sure we're bigger, but like my immediate family, we're closest. I grew up with my two siblings primarily. I got an older brother and a little sister. I'm the middle, so I'm 4 years apart from both of them and my mom. So primarily it was just us a lot of times. Mom, super hardworking. My brother was the main point person a lot. Looked up to my brother a lot, still do. We kind of did different things, but he was like the person to look to and figure out, well, which way do I want to go? Well, how do I want to do this? And then my little sister, super smart, brainiac, artistic kid. That's my little sister. That's how I would describe her.
And I know you didn't mention your dad, but I do know there's a story about your dad, too. If you feel comfortable, would you want to talk about that?
Yeah. When I was younger, around 6 or 7, my dad actually committed suicide. We lost my father pretty early in the game. That happened pretty early. You know, my mom, she had boyfriend, you know, things like that. That was an experience. And my brother, you know, he didn't have the same father, but that was also a loss for him. My little sister, pretty small, not as aware, but it was also a loss for her that she's dealing with to this day. So that's a dynamic for sure. Funny enough with the family dynamic. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. I can't imagine how difficult that was. And I know you had disclosed to me when we were getting to know each other that he had bipolar disorder and then combined mm-hmm. with some drug and alcohol
abuse.
And it's so sad that he didn't get the help and the support that he needed to take care of those issues, because it sure would have been nice to have him around still. How do you think like his death has impacted you? Have you been able to pinpoint that yet? I know, Essence, you're pretty young, but have you been able to tie that into what you think that means to your life?
And it's something, funny enough, like it happened pretty young. So it's something that I've been like tossing around in my brain a little bit. What does that all mean since I was pretty young? I would say in what I do and just everything, I mean, I think it ties into kind of my drive and my why. And I know that a lot of people have experienced hardships. You just need people to show up and be able to relate. There are a lot of people that showed up in my life when I was younger and just other things that have happened. And they not, like, some people have related to the situation. Some people have not been able to relate to my situation. But I always find the most impact and connection when people have actually had some lived experience. Maybe not the exact same thing, but just the realness, like just being raw and real and actually coming from that space, it does something different. So I know for sure I've always had the idea, you know, I want to make my dad proud. I know he's looking down, you know, I want him to be proud of what's going on. But realistically, my family suffered from drug abuse and alcohol abuse. I know that this is a reality. It hasn't stopped. And I'm blessed and fortunate. My mom overcame a lot. She's never done drugs. We've never really had to experience a lot of things up close that come with our family background. But I would say my drive, like everything kind of ties into this. I know where I come from and I know that it's still out there. And again, I'm blessed and fortunate to not be in that same space. So at that point, I think you're supposed to give back. That's how it's supposed to happen. So it for sure ties into things. I wanna make my dad proud, as well as other family members that have passed on. It's a disservice not to.
Thank you for sharing that. And your willingness to want to give forward is really cool. Matter of fact, we need to take a short break. But when we come back, I want to ask you about your godmother and the way she looks at life and kind of how she sees things, because I think that's a nice segue into what you just talked about. So we'll be right back after this short break.
No matter how you support our young people, the Professional Youth Worker powered by YIPA has your training and learning needs covered. Visit training.yipa.org. That's training.yipa.org to see for yourself. And then join the thousands of youth workers around the globe who learn from our easy-to-access, exceptional trainings. From our blogs to our podcast, the Professional Youth Worker is your go-to resource for tools to help you keep going, keep learning, and keep growing. Members enjoy free, unlimited access to live online and on-demand trainings and a preferred discount pricing for our one-of-a-kind certificate course. Annual memberships are just $99 for individuals and only $250 for your entire organization. Visit training.yipa.org today to learn more. That's training.yipa.org.
And we're back with Essence Blakemore from Minnesota in the United States. Essence, right before the break, you talked about paying it forward, giving back to your community. I know your godmother is a pretty important person in your world. And she said, what you go through in this life is for the next person. And I know that's kind of how you carry it forward. Can you tell me what, in your own words, what does that mean? What you're doing is for the next person.
Yeah. So my godmom, she is a great woman. And she, along with my mom, like gave me a lot of spiritual backing and just my faith in general. So with that, she explains it like a testimony. You know, it's not for you, but it's for the next person, because what you may have found to be unbearable and something that you just can't get through, it may be the end of the road. You know, you went through that moment because somebody else too is going through that, you know, and they may be going through it at a worser extent. They may really be at the brink of like maybe jumping. God put you through this because you're here to help the next person. We're all here to bless each other and be a service and share our stories and open up and have these kinds of conversations to free people and let them know that they're not alone. A lot of people, you know, loneliness is a terrible feeling. And that it kind of just touches around that. And also just making peace with your situation. A lot of things happen that are out of our controls. How do you deal with that? You know, there's a lot of different ways to cope, but I think just having that mindset allows you to understand your situation a little bit better. Not only did you not go through it, but someone else probably went through it before you and is going to, and you probably will pull them out. That's a little bit of how that goes.
Yeah, that's a real humanitarian approach. The idea that we are all connected on a very deep level.
Very connected.
And part of our purpose is to be able to share our experiences with the next person so that they can maybe make it through some of the struggles in life a little bit easier. And I know you're committed to doing that. You've decided that you would like to take the things that have happened to you in your world and pay it forward with young people. Can you say why you chose young people and versus, I don't know, veterans or, you know, elderly or environmental issues? Why young people? Why is that so important to you?
I want to say young people, it's important to me because I'm still young. I still very much so feel connected to the young people that I work with and I can relate. I see myself sometimes. They got this thing, trauma bond. It's very unhealthy, but a lot of times I see my stories in people. So it just kind of naturally happened. Right after high school, I jumped into AmeriCorps and I was working with young people. So it just like, oh my God, I love this. This is what I like to do. I feel like there's not enough focus on youth. And that sounds funny because everybody's like youth, 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 right? But I feel like they're just kind of overlooked. There's not really a space for them. And we're trying to create these spaces, right? But that's because there's so much lack. And I think there's so many people that slip through the cracks. And a lot of my friends I think about, they didn't get the benefits of the Minnesota Youth Council. They didn't have this up close mentorship. I think we've all could have benefited from having somebody, kinder spirit, to like guide us through. And that's why I do this, because everybody deserves to have somebody in their corner and to support them, because being young is hard. And I remember people used to say, like, those are little people problems. Those are 14-year-old problems. Just wait until you're 36. And it's like, well, problems don't start at 36. Me being 12 years old, I have my own set of issues. And it's just like, people don't really hear that. I mean, we hear things, but we kind of just generalize and summarize what youth are saying instead of taking the time to listen. So that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody to slow down and just like, Essence, what do you need? Not Essence fighting for what she needs, but just to be there and support me through it. Yeah, it's a special thing to me because it's what I needed. So it's like looking at me in a way. And it's like, this is, be the person that you needed when you were younger kind of deal.
Got it. I think there's a lot of people in today's society that talk a good story about helping young people, but I don't think there's a lot of people who are really stepping up and providing the resources and changing the systems that are restricting young people from developing what they're good at and finding their niche and empowering, just like what Jamie did to you. I think there's sadly a lot of young people that don't have Jamies in their world. You said trauma bond. I've never heard that phrase before, and can you talk about that? Is that, I could see it as being an asset, but I can also see it as being kind of really touchy ground to get into with young people when you're working with them.
Trauma bond is something that I learned about doing this work and doing trainings. They kind of touched on it, and just to be aware of it. So it's when you and another individual probably have a shared pattern of behaviors or cycles in your life or things that arise. So maybe a young person is suffering from homelessness and you dealt with homelessness as a young person. Your mom couldn't find stable housing and now you're seeing this young person who maybe writes poetry. I'm a poet. So they write poetry. They love pets and their parents can't find stable housing. So you're watching them go through this cycle, but you got a slew of other kids to support. But you're like focused on this one. You might go and, you know, do things that you're not supposed to do just because you feel so strongly about this particular situation or their situation. Now, that's an extreme case that you go and violate things that you're supposed to. But this is when trauma bonds get out of hand. But it's just that serious of you seeing yourself in another person. And it's kind of scary a little bit. I had someone explain it to me. You got to have a certain level of compassion and responsibility. Where those two things meet, that's what keeps trauma bonds in check. But it really is hard and it's real to see that. To see someone going through what you went through, because you know they're hurting. You don't want them to suffer, especially a young person. So it's like you almost want to be the superhero and you can't always do that.
I can see that is an important part in your youth work and part of your ability to carry it forward is that you live this stuff and you can explain to other young people what it's like. And that whole thing that your godmother talked about is what you've gone through is for somebody else. So you can take what you've learned and hopefully expedite the learning of young people as well. So maybe it doesn't turn out to be as much trauma or the ability to cope with that trauma comes quicker as a result of you being able to share that with them. for people like me, people who have been in the field for a long time and have worked with young people for many years, what do we need to know about young people today from your perspective?
Oh, that's a good question. So I would say people need to know, not what they need to know. This is what they need to do. Trust young people with knowledge and information. Trust that they are going to understand. Don't assume because they come from a certain socioeconomic background or because of a certain level of education. Just trust it. Put the information out there and see where it goes. And that applies in a lot of different areas. I won't specify, but this is something. For younger adults, understand that like they're almost dealing with the same level of stress and maybe even financial stress that you are. They are really little people, and they're not just kids or youth, or they are dealing with a lot. I had a 16-year-old tell me like, yeah, Miss Essence, I'm getting my car fixed right now. I can't do that. And I'm just like, whoa, it blew my mind. And I'm not that much older than that. I'm only 22, but it blew my mind to think this young girl is right now paying to get her car fixed. That's not cheap. She's making, you know, Taco Bell, Subway money. That's not fun. It's not an easy time. And it's like, that's a real life problem. So on top of being a teenager and dealing with social media and Snapchat, trust them with information and understand that they are dealing with life, real life, and it's happening sooner than you probably think. It's happening right now.
I think that trusting young people is such an important thing. And I know when I started in this field, that wasn't the mentality. It was always to try to fix young people or correct them. And I just think that was such a big mistake. And I'm so glad there's your generation is speaking up and talking about working side by side, work along with them, support them. They don't need to be fixed. They just need to find their way. And I think that's such a better approach. So thanks for sharing that. What would you like to see as a success in your work with young people? What would you like to see changed and happen?
So I think this is something that may change and shift, but I'm really passionate about writing. It's kind of like a dream of mine that more young people start writing and articulating their thoughts through writing, just because I think it helps you process and create. Now, I got certain young people that they're like, Miss Essence, I'm not about to sit and write all day, but that is my dream because I think it does something special. But the reason why I'm so passionate about writing is because I just want to get people to think differently, different perspectives, just critically thinking, almost kind of what Jamie did for us. Ask questions of yourself and other people to get real answers about things, because there's a lot of truths in the world. And it's just like, do enough digging. I want to help you think about those questions and turn over those rocks. Writing prompts, I find, are great for digging deep and thinking about, what am I trying to figure out? What do I want? So yeah, I think that's what I want to do. I just want to create space for young people to think and ask questions, because that's really how you get through. Because once you ask a question, it almost provokes a story or something to explain life in a little bit more clear.
That's wonderful aspirations. And I wish you nothing but success. And I know that you are going to take this passion, you're going to take your life experiences and pay it forward. It seems like that was just given to you, a gift from people that sometimes you expected it from and others you didn't, like just bopped into your world like Jamie. And I'm grateful that you've decided to pour your work into helping young people and do whatever you can do to try to find some social justice. Because I think at the heart of youth work is social justice. And I'm grateful that you are a guest on the podcast. So thank you for being a guest.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here. I'm just like smiling through the whole thing. So yeah,
I'm happy
to be here and talk about all of this. So thank you.
Before we go, I would like to ask you, what words of inspiration or wisdom would you like to leave with the listeners?
And this is just pressing on my heart. There's probably a couple different things that I want to say, but have faith. It's kind of biblical, but if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And I carry that with me wholeheartedly in everything that I do. And I think it wraps up everything that we talked about so well. But also, faith without works is dead. So make sure you move.
If you would like to share your passion for youth work, we'd love to spotlight you as a guest. If you have feedback about the show, please let us know. Just visit training.yipa.org. That's training.yipa.org and click on the podcast tab. This podcast is made possible in part due to a generous contribution from M Health Fairview. I'm your host, Paul Munier. Thanks for listening to The Passionate Youth Worker.